For our reading this morning, let's turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16.
Brate, nastavljamo da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz poslanice apostola Pavla Rimljanima, 16. glava. Rimljanima, 16. glava.
I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been the succor of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is with that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of the which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Arsenicritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, and Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you to be you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, and my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us. The Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We hold to this truth because we know that Jesus Christ is the light of this world, and that if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. And so we rejoice in this truth because we can follow in Jesus Christ, walk in his light, and then we know that we have fellowship one with another as we are walking in this light of Jesus Christ, or as we are in his orb, as we are in his presence, and the light is emanating from him, and we draw near unto him, and we yield ourselves to him. We have fellowship then one with another, and we rejoice in this fellowship. It's precious to us. It's dear to us. There is nothing more important or more a higher of an association that we might be able to have on this earth than to have fellowship with those in the Lord, to be brothers and sisters in Christ, to be the sons and daughters of the living God. There is no greater calling. There is no greater association. We are blessed to be in this fellowship of Jesus Christ. We are called to that. Jesus gave us a very important and new commandment. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's by this. It's by this. It's by nothing else, but it's by the love that we have one for another, that the world will know that we are his disciples, by this fellowship that we hold so dear one with another. This is how it will be known that we are the disciples of Christ, that we are his, that we live for him, that we are dwelling in his presence, and his light is illuminating us, and we allow that light of Jesus Christ that illuminates us to illuminate others. We hold this fellowship and this and this association that we have in Christ very dear. And that was very clear in this reading that we had this morning here in Romans 16. That there is a strong affection, and there's this deep, meaningful relationship that these people had here. I didn't count how many times it says salute or to greet. But there's this longing and this desire to have this fellowship and to rejoice in this fellowship that can be had in Christ Jesus. The psalmist of old captured this as well, this beautiful fellowship that we can have in Christ Jesus and in the Lord, and how precious it is that we spend our time together and be with each other. In Psalm 119, it says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts." There's this companionship with those that fear the Lord. A relationship, a strong and deep and meaningful relationship with those that would keep the precepts of the Lord. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." We can have fellowship one with another when we dwell in the light of Jesus Christ. And this fellowship, again, is sweet, and it's deep, and it's meaningful. And if we go to the next chapter of from where we read in Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says here, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful in calling us to this fellowship. God wants us to be a part of this fellowship. He wants us he wants to have this relationship with us, that he can gladly say, "This is my son, this is my daughter." He's faithful, and he calls us to this fellowship. And we rejoice in this, again, because there's no greater association or no greater name that we can have than to be called the sons and the daughters of the living God. But it's all in the Lord. And so as we look at this chapter here that we read, Romans 16, It says over and over that this was in the Lord, or in Christ Jesus. Not isolated, not by itself, but it's in the Lord. And so as we yield ourselves to the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, we then have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We rejoice in this because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because we have this common and shared experience that we have repented from our sins, that we have been converted, that we have been baptized, that we walk in newness of life, that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that there is a robe that is white waiting to dawn us when we arrive there in heaven above. And so, again, this fellowship that we have is precious, and it's rich, and it's in the Lord. And we can just see the love that was shared and this deep and this meaningful desire to be with one another as it is expressed among all these who are named here in Romans chapter 16. What's also clear here in this chapter is that these who are here in the Lord labored. They were doing what the Lord would have them to do. They were serving in whatever capacity that they could serve. They were giving of themselves. They weren't about their own selves, but they were giving of their own selves unto others and for their benefit. We see here the first one who is named Phoebe, a sister in the Lord, that that she would be received in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, for she had been the succorer of many and of myself also. Here was Phoebe, who's it's very clear from this short description that she was busy about the Lord's service, that she did what God would have her to do, that she labored in the Lord. Likewise, Priscilla and Aquila, who are named in the Acts of the Apostles, how they were helpers in Christ Jesus to not only Apostle Paul, but unto others as well, to the churches of the Gentiles. They were helpers. Another one that was listed as a helper here is Urbane. He was one who labored. He was one who helped others in their walk of life, who helped them in their kingdom, in the kingdom of God. And likewise for us, we are to cherish this fellowship that we belong to, this fellowship in Christ Jesus, that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, to cherish that very much, and then to labor in this vineyard and in this fellowship that we have been called in. Phoebe, Priscilla, Aquila, Urbane, they were all helpers in the Lord. Then it also speaks of one Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Again, laboring in the Lord. There were those who were succoring. There were those who were helping. There were those who were laboring much. Also in verse number 12, it speaks of Persis, who labored much in the Lord. What a blessing this is to see that they are walking in the light. They are abiding in the light. Because Jesus came here upon this earth to be about his Father's business, to serve, to love, to help. And so they are in the light of Jesus Christ, and they are serving, loving, and helping likewise. And they are mentioned here by name. Many of these are named only one time in the Bible, here in Romans 16, and nowhere else. There are a few exceptions, Aquila and Priscilla, and maybe others. But most of these are named just here in this chapter. But they allowed the light of Jesus Christ to illuminate them. And they did what Jesus Christ did. They loved, they served, they gave of themselves. And so they had sweet fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And they know that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them from their sin. And they were in this blessed state. And then we read here in verse number 7 of Andronicus and Junia. They were fellow prisoners. They also labored in the Lord. And they gave of themselves. And they maintained their faith. and they were obedient unto the Lord. And in their obedience and in their faith, they were imprisoned. They were imprisoned. They held true to that which they believed in. And they felt that the fellowship of the Lord was far more important than fellowship in this world. And so they were true to the Lord. And they were fellow prisoners with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul clearly relates to them as his kinsmen, those who he loved and those who he had a nearness with and a strong desire to be with and an appreciation for. And then it says also something really interesting here of Andronicus and Junia. It says that they were of note among the apostles. The apostles knew Andronicus and Junia. So if they were in Jerusalem, if people were in Jerusalem or wherever the apostles were, and you brought up the name of Andronicus or Junia, the apostles would say, "Oh yeah, we know them. We know them. They are faithful. They are obedient. They believed in the preaching of Jesus Christ. They have given their lives over to him. And we have fellowship with them. We have highly esteemed them." They were of note among the apostles. And they were also in Christ before the Apostle Paul. He says, yeah, they were in Christ before me. They were serving the Lord. They had a sweet fellowship with the believers. And they were obedient, and they were laboring, and they were giving of themselves. Here, Timothy was regarded as a work fellow to the Apostle Paul. They were working together. They had this association where they were working throughout Asia and wherever they were at, that they were laboring together. This is something that the Lord has called us to. These who are listed here in Romans 16 and us today, that we are to labor in the Lord. To show that we are having fellowship one with another. To show that we love one another. To show that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, we labor in the Lord. We labor in the Lord. And he blesses us. And he blesses us richly. There was even one here named Gaius. He was a host. He hosted believers. And they had sweet fellowship together. There are many means and many ways that we might labor for the Lord and do his will and build up the kingdom. And show our appreciation for the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. Here simply, the Gaius was just a host and provided. The Lord calls us to be his. The Lord calls us to do his will. All the way back in Deuteronomy, in the very beginning, God gives us his instructions, and he shows us what he would have for us to do. It says here, "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all of his ways?" Walking together, having that fellowship in the ways of the Lord. All of his ways. Rejoicing in that which he would call us to. And that we would love him, just as Jesus gave us that commandment to love one another, and that there are no greater commandments than to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, so that we are to love him and to appreciate his commandments that he gives us, knowing that they are life-giving. The commandments that we have of the Lord, and as we keep them, it allows us to have a robe of white that is waiting for us, again, to dawn us, to be put on us as we go through those portals of heaven. And so we are to walk in all of his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To serve him. How do we serve him? How do we serve the Lord? But by doing what these did here in Romans 16. By serving one another. By being that fellow laborer, that fellow prisoner, by being a succorer, by being a helper, by laboring much, as it's written here, in the Lord. This is what the Lord would have of us. This is what the Lord requires of us. Jesus was in a crowd, and there were those that told Jesus, "Hey, your brother and your sisters and your mother are outside of the crowd, and they want to be with you." And Jesus says, "Who is my brother and my sister and my mother?" And he says, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister." This is what the Lord Jesus Christ's words, that as we do the will of the Father which is in heaven, we are become the brothers and the sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a humbling thought. Us, that we would be called the sons of God, that we would be a brother and a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a humbling thought. And yet when we fulfill what the Lord has called us to fulfill, that when we walk in the fellowship of one another, when we walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light, then we have that fellowship one with another. And we're close then with Jesus Christ. And we succor and we help and we labor much. We are fellow prisoners and we are fellow workers one with another in that which the Lord has called us to. The Bible also says that as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Do good. Labor for others for their benefit as a cost to us, for their benefit, that their lot might be eased. We have an opportunity to do good, and that often, because we are a fallen people living on a cursed earth. We have an opportunity to do good often in many different situations. And so the Bible tells us this is what the Lord would have of us, that we would, as we would have fellowship one with another and fellowship with the Lord, is that we would do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And then the Bible also says that let us provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Encourage each other. Encourage each other unto love. Encourage each other unto good works. Just as the Apostle Paul did here to the believers in Rome and other places as well. When he spoke here of Phoebe, he goes, "Receive this her in the Lord, in the Lord, as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you." In whatever way you can help Phoebe, he's telling them, help her. Help her. Make that your business to help her. And so we are to provoke one another to good works and to encourage each other in the way that the Lord would have us to go, and that we might be pleasing unto the Lord in all these things. Here in the middle of the chapter, it speaks here saying, "And now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." The doctrine that we have learned is that we have fellowship one with another when we have fellowship with Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sins, and that the new commandment would be that we have love one toward another. But here, clearly, there are those who had offenses that were contrary to the doctrine, to that teaching which we have learned. And here it's saying to avoid them. Again, in the next chapter, or in the next book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to those in Corinth saying, "Now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat." There should be a distinction between those who have fellowship in Christ and those that who say they're brothers but have issues with drunkenness, extortion, covetousness, railing. None of these other men listed here and women in this chapter had done such things. And again, there are women listed here, Phoebe being one of them, Mary being another. In verse 12, it speaks of Tryphena and Tryphosa, and also even Rufus's mother. There are many women who are listed here. And they have their part in the ministry as well, as we began the service, how ye pious women, be not fearful. They were the last ones at the tomb. It was the women who were the last ones at the cross. They were the last ones there. They beheld where Jesus was laid when he was taken down off the cross. It was the women that were there. And it was the women that were the first ones there early in the morning on the first day of the week. It was the women who were laboring, as many are listed here in Romans chapter 16. The Apostle Paul addresses the Philippians, and he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. There were women that were laboring in this gospel and serving in whatever capacity that they could serve. And he's saying, help them. Help them. Encourage one another. Love one another and provoke unto good works. And so there's to be a distinction between those who have fellowship in Christ and those who don't. It says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. But their own belly. When one serves their own belly, there's no room for Jesus Christ. When they serve their own interests and want their own agendas pushed forth, they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Those that are unsuspecting. Those that are innocent. Those that serve their own belly can deceive those who are unsuspecting. And so we need to be on guard against that. And then further he says, your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Your obedience to the Lord, you walking in the light, you succoring and helping and laboring much, all that obedience, it's come abroad unto all. That's what he says here at the end of this book. In the first chapter of this book, he says, I thank my God through Christ Jesus our Lord that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. These were men that were not serving their own bellies, but were serving the Lord and had fellowship one with another in Christ Jesus and were laboring in the Lord. And so he rejoices in this. Your obedience has come abroad unto all men. And he says, I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. As you rejoice in this, I'm rejoicing with you. I'm thankful for you. I thank God for you, and I'm rejoicing with you. And he says, but yet I would not have you to be, but I would have you to be wise unto that which is good. Be wise. Focus on that which is good. Do that which is good. Study that way of Jesus Christ. Be wise unto it. Learn it. Those things which are good. Help where you can help. Be a blessing where you can be a blessing. Serve in any capacity that you can. And so he's saying, be wise unto that which is good. And then he says, and simple concerning evil. Here, simple in this context is unmixed. Unmixed with that which is evil. With that which is evil, those who are serving the Lord in fervent in spirit and dwelling in the light of Jesus Christ, they don't associate with evil. It's unmixed. There's no mixing with evil. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And then he says it again later on in this chapter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Without the grace of the Lord, we can't be laborers. We can't be helpers. Without the grace of the Lord, we can't do these things that he calls us to. So he provides us his grace. And he gives unto us of his goodness and of his strength and of his wisdom, and that we might be workers in the Lord. And so let's treat this grace that we are given with high regard. With high regard. Again, the Apostle Paul addresses the Corinthians and he says, we then, as workers together, even as all these people here in Romans 16 were workers together, he says, as workers together with him, we beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Grace has been given unto us. Let's not receive it in vain, but let's use it to the honor and the glory of God. So any good that we do, it's because of his grace. We are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. But grace has been given unto us, and we are to use that grace to his honor and to his glory. What a blessed association we have in this fellowship that we have one with another in Christ Jesus, where we dwell in his light and he illuminates us and gives us of his grace day by day. The Apostle John was banished there on the Isle of Patmos, and he was given visions. Visions of seals being opened up, various seals, and there were numerous seals. And it's in the Bible says that when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, that the Apostle John saw under the altar. Visualize this. He sees under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, which many of these were likely slain for the word of God. Andronicus and Junia, the two whom the apostles had high regard for, that they noted. And many of the others here listed here in Romans 16 likely were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, because they had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because they dwelled in his light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed them from all their sins. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them which dwell on the earth? Here these that were slain were asking, how long? When is this judgment going to take place of these who serve their own bellies and are persecuting those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? And it says, and white robes were given unto every one of them. When we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, a white robe will be given unto us as we enter through and into those gates into heaven above. White robes are there, and they are awaiting us. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, their fellow servants, those who labored together, those who had fellowship one with another, those who counted that a precious opportunity to receive the grace of God and to help and to serve and to labor much for the benefit of others. They should rest a little while until their fellow servants and their brethren that were killed as they were should be fulfilled. This fellowship that we have in the Christ Jesus should be held in high regard. We are to love those, just as love and that appreciation and expression of high esteem was given to those listed there in Romans 16. That same appreciation and that same love ought to be one with another in this fellowship that we have one with another. God is good, and he blesses us, and he allows us to be in his light, and he encourages us to allow that light of Jesus Christ to illuminate forth from us. So my prayer is that the Lord may have spoken unto you in this message as much as he has spoken unto me in this message. Amen.
Well, in this morning hour, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus Christ. His words are the basis for all of Apostle Paul's teachings. We've read this morning of the greetings and the salutations that were extended between brethren who were dwelling together in unity, though separated by many miles, yet busy in the work and the labor that God had given them. And also for the need to stay close and stay true to the doctrine that they had received. And Jesus says these words, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Apostle Paul listed those whom he appreciated and who were of note in service, but the Lord knows each one of his own. And he's known of his own. We hear his voice and we follow him. We follow in his steps and follow in his example. And it is a high calling that Jesus Christ has given to us. We see that Priscilla and Aquila understood this calling. Said, "Who for my life laid down their own necks." And we think of what Jesus Christ has done for us as the good shepherd, that he has laid down his life for the unity of the church and for its life. And we need to see ourselves in this passage and ask ourselves, how do we fit in? We know that it was a great price that the Lord paid for our fellowship. What is the price that you've paid, that I have paid? What is the gift that we bring and that we offer that God has given to us to share? The Lord is calling us to a very, very practical and visible unity and fellowship. Apostle Paul says that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You and I are being called to have a part in the victory and the demonstration of God's goodness, and even as we prayed, with God, a victory over sin. A demonstration of a Father who loves his creation and desires to be reconciled with us in daily life and in our walk. And part of that is to heed the words of Jesus Christ. And he echoed the words of Apostle Paul as he explained some of the challenges that they would face. Those who would be saying good words and fair speeches. Jesus did not use the words that sounded good or sounded nice. He spoke with authority and demands exclusive obedience and discipleship. And he says these words, "A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." May the voice of temptation and of strangers be an unfamiliar one to us. Let us not give it much time, but let us be in the Word of God, which teaches us to be wise into that which is good and meditate upon the things that we've heard today, how we can be of service in God's kingdom, because we've meditated much on that which is good. May the Lord add his blessing unto his word, and may we find that the truth of the scriptures are rooted in the commands of Jesus Christ, which he has commanded us to teach all men to observe. May God bless his word. Amen.